Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
Right, this morning I've got a word for you which I believe God gave me earlier in the week. Actually, I had the most productive day on Tuesday. You know, some days just things fall into place so beautifully. And so I sat down on Tuesday and I had all these messages just flowing and it was just amazing. And I thought, I'm all set for Sunday. And then yesterday came and it wasn't what I needed to preach, was it? So sometimes preparation's a good thing. Preparation is always a good thing, but we need to always be open to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit, don't we? So this morning, I would like to read to you, if you've got your Bibles or if you can follow on the screen, from the book of John, chapter 17, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word in this house. Your word is truth. Lord God, I pray that as I bring this word this morning, that you would just, Lord, impact every one of us as we hear not my words, but your words. Lord God, I pray that you would just open our hearts to receive the truth of your word this morning, Father, not the religion, not the rules and regulations, Lord, but your heart for each one of us, the relationship you want to have with each one of us. And God, that you would just, Lord, just rub off rough edges this morning and impact our lives in such a powerful way that we would truly glorify you in everything we do. Father, I ask that you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer this morning, as I bring your message in Jesus' most precious and holy and wondrous and awesome name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Jesus prays this morning in this passage of Scripture. Right through the Gospels, Jesus prays. His prayer life is exemplary and it's outstanding and it's an example for us as his children to know him more, to understand that he sets in place things that we need to follow, the example that he sets, and prayer is one of them. But it really touched my heart this morning, you know, yesterday when I was doing it, and again this morning as I was preparing in prayer, I really felt like, you know, this is Jesus. He's just about to go to the cross. He's just about to complete the very thing that he's come to do, the very reason that he came to earth for. And what does he do? He lifts his eyes to heaven. He lifts his eyes to heaven, to his heavenly Father, and he prays. And he doesn't pray for what he needs. He just prays, "Lord, glorify me that I may glorify you." What an incredible thing to pray. What an incredible thing to pray. And it made me start to ponder about some of our prayers, my prayers, not yours, my prayers. Sometimes we pray them for reasons that are incredibly personal and for what we want, and yet in everything it should be about, if we join our hearts to what God wants for each one of us, then we should be praying his will be done in our lives, like the Lord's Prayer, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come." And it's adjusting our mindset and our thoughts so that everything that we do and say and pray is in accordance with his will and his purpose for us all. The circumstances of the prayer. Jesus prayed right through his life. Sometimes he prayed all night. And his prayers are recorded so completely and so none of them are recorded as well as this one here. The time when he prayed this prayer, when he'd spoken these words, he'd given his farewell to his disciples. He prayed in their hearing. And it was a prayer that he prayed after he'd given a sermon. And when he'd spoken from God to them, he turned to speak to God for them. It was a prayer that was taken after Passover, so like after a sacrament, like we've just had communion. He prayed it after they'd had Passover together. It was their last supper together. It was their last meal together. It was also a family prayer. Christ's disciples were his family, his earthly family, those he gathered around him. And we can all relate to that because we all have family around us, either biological family or spiritual family, even coming together on a Sunday morning here or in our connect groups or in a prayer meeting. We're together in one accord. We are God's family. And that family extends just beyond, you know, not just beyond Bridge City Church, but through every Bible-believing church in this community and throughout this state and throughout this nation and, in fact, throughout the whole world. We are the family of God, and it's an amazing thing. And sometimes I think we forget in our the circumstances that we walk through that we become maybe a little bit focused just on our own circumstances. But just like Jesus, we need to lift our eyes up. We need to lift our eyes up to heaven. It talks about it in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He never slumbers and he never sleeps. And that's an incredible thing, isn't it? So you have a very present help no matter what's going on in your lives. He's always there. He's always ready for us just to turn to him. But it takes us to lift our eyes up as Jesus did. It was also a prayer that he prayed as a farewell. It was a parting prayer that Jesus prayed, that they might be sanctified and softened and ready for what was about to happen, that those disciples would be prepared in some way. I don't think we can ever really be fully prepared for separation on an eternal level, but Jesus prayed for his disciples so that they would sense what was about to happen. It was a prayer that was the preface to the sacrifice that Jesus was about to make. And it was a prayer that prefaced the fact that he was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified. It was an outward expression of his fervent desire in lifting up his eyes to his God, to his Father, his Heavenly Father. And just like in John 11:41, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And what an example that is for us, that when we're faced with death or life situations that are incredibly serious, if we lift up our eyes, God can bring that resurrection life into every situation that we're confronting, no matter what that might be. And it's his will. It's always his will. It's significant that as we lift up our soul to God in prayer, God moves. It's putting our trust in God. It's lifting our eyes to him, not looking at our circumstances, being aware of what's happening around us, but lifting our eyes to Jesus. Lifting our eyes and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And then he said, Father, glorify your Son. Glorify your Son according to thy promise, that your Son may glorify you according to his understanding. And that's the new. That's not the New King James Version. That's the authorised version, the thys and the these. And sometimes I like to go back to that because it just sometimes helps me with awe and reverence when I'm thinking about Jesus, so that I don't take him for granted, so that I don't treat him like he's just there and maybe I ignore him sometimes, which I do. And I'm so sad about that because he is our all in all. He never leaves us and he never, ever forsakes us. That Jesus Christ, as God, existed before the world was. He was there at the beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was there involved in creation. He spoke the word and it was. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, community and God. And it speaks to me about us as community, that we are together, that we are here for his purpose and that we're here to glorify Jesus in everything we do. Not self-seeking, not self anything really, because the Father heart of God is for others, and that's the heart that God wants us to develop, that we would look after ourselves, but our heart would be for others, and especially at this time of the year, coming into Christmas and times of such uncertainty and things that have been happening, you know. Who's going to be glad to see 2020 done? Hallelujah. It certainly has been a year of 2020 vision, but not the way that we expected it to be. It's been a year of 2020 vision where we've seen things according to so many different parameters, but in it all, God has been so incredibly good. God has been so faithful to us. God has provided for us everything we've needed in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of stress, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of grief. God has been so incredibly good. And, you know, we can finish this year. We have another month and one day left of this year, and we can finish this year off saying, Lord, in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, we are so grateful that you have been with us, because personally, I don't know how I could have done this year without him. He has been so good to me and to our family, and I'm sure you can all say the same thing. He's provided so much of what we need spiritually, emotionally, physically. But more than all else, his presence with us provides us with that comfort that we need, the direction that we need, the strategies that we need in walking through the things that we walk through. So Jesus existed at the beginning. He had no beginning and he had no end, but when he came to earth, he came as a human Jesus. Colossians 1, 15 to 18, for he is the image. This is Jesus we're talking about. Of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That his glory with the Father is from everlasting. He lay his glory down to come to earth as a baby in a manger, and that's what we're about to celebrate as we come into the Christmas season. And we must never forget that he came and laid down his glory so that he could fulfill God's purpose, and that purpose was redemption. Our redemption, the redemption of the world, the redemption, the saving of all who would call upon the name of Jesus, all who acknowledge him as Saviour and as Lord. That is glory with the Father from everlasting as well. That he was from eternity, from the beginning, his Father's glory, his brightness. Hebrews 1, 3 to 4 says, who being the brightness of his glory, so lots of glory words today. I want you to really grab hold of this today about God's glory and how he wants to glorify himself in us and through us, and how it all may always needs to point to the Father. Everything that we do should be about giving glory to God, so that when people say to you, you've done such a great job, oh, thank you, thank you. You can say thank you, and then you can say, this is because God has given me the chance to do this. This is because God has called me to do this. This is because God is good to me. This is because he is good, and he wants to work through each one of us. So it's giving glory to God in all we do. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. And he has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. You see, Christ undertook the work of redemption, not because he needed the glory, for he had glory with the Father before the world. He laid that glory down. He didn't need to be praised or feel like he was getting glory for himself. It was all about the Father, pointing to the Father. And Christ, when he took on that shame of the cross and the humiliation of the cross, he let that glory all go. He lay it down. And though he was still God, Yet he was God manifested in the flesh, but he'd laid down that glory so that the Father would receive it. It's incredible, isn't it? Incredible. And when you think about it, that first verse in John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Father, the hour has come. He knew. He knew what he was about to face. He knew what he was about to face. And he didn't say, strengthen me. He didn't say, lift it from me. He didn't say, can someone else do it for me? He didn't say, can we do this another day when I'm feeling more in the mood? He didn't say any of those things. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Is anyone getting this morning? He prays that even his human nature might be advanced to the highest honour it's capable of, and his body, a glorious body, that the glory of the Godhead might now be made manifest as him, as Emmanuel, as God with us, when he's about to go to the cross. Emmanuel, God with us. And you think about every other deity that's ever been worshipped and is still worshipped in this world today. But Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he came. He came from his place of glory with the Father. He came and laid down that glory so that he could take upon himself all of the sin of the world, that he would pay the price for every single one of us, so that we might know life with the Father for all eternity. So that this life is not what it's all about. This life, this temporal life, this impermanent life is about doing the things that God's called us to do so that we can, at the end of the day, go home to be with him, to continue eternal life with him. And so it's about giving glory to God and doing the things he's called us to do in these times so that our temporary state is all about putting building blocks down in the foundation of our mansion in heaven that we're building for his glory. Amen. He doesn't pray to be glorified like a prince or a king, but he could have, because he knew both worlds. He didn't choose riches. He didn't ask for the mansion. He didn't ask for anything except, Father, glorify your Son that he may glorify you. And when you think about this and whatever he went through, and I don't think this side of eternity we'll ever really understand what Jesus went through for us, because he was sinless. He was perfect. So he was the perfect sacrifice of God that he would pay the price for each one of us. I don't think we'll ever really get it this side of eternity, but one day when we stand before him, it says we'll stand before him and we'll know all things. We'll see him face to face and we will know all things. Talks about that in Corinthians. We'll stand before Father and every pain we've suffered, every rejection we've suffered, every hurt we've had, every grief, every tear, every trial, every tribulation we've gone through, when we stand before him, it'll all be lost and gone, because of the light of his grace and his glory and his perfect love that will wash over us, and we will know all things that we need to know. And so much of the stuff that we go through on this world, in this world, so much of the stuff, you know, it'll be as nothing in the light of eternity. But we've got to walk it out. And while we walk it out, we're as the gold that's being refined by fire. The purifying fire of the Holy Spirit bringing us to a place where all the dross comes to the surface, where all of the stuff that is getting in the way of God's good and perfect will in our hearts is coming to the surface. And as we're allowing him to take it away, to refine us, to make us the best me we can be, he does that work in us. So that at the end of the day we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you're making me, that you are making me into the best version of me that I can be. because God knows the plans he has for you, and he knows what you're capable of. He knows what he wants to do in you, and he knows what he wants to do through you. But in this lifetime that we're living in, as we lift up our eyes to heaven, as we're facing things, if we lift our eyes to heaven and say, Lord God, Lord, work through this. You know what you want to do through these circumstances. You know what you want to do in me through this. You know what I need to let go of. You know, Father God, the things that I need to take on from you so that I can be the best me that I can be. And then he works in us. But it's lifting our eyes up to heaven. It's lifting our eyes up. It's looking to him because he's the author and he's the finisher. And only he knows what's ahead of us. So he glorified God in two ways, by his death on the cross and by the doctrine of the cross. And it's like Andrew spoke about, that redemption, that he died on that cross in our place, that we would not have to suffer a death at those for the sins that we've committed, ever committed or ever about to commit, because none of us is perfect. But if God hadn't glorified Christ, he wouldn't have raised him from the dead. And the fact that he raised him from the dead, that we have redemption because Jesus was raised from the dead, that is the most awesome thing ever. He is the only one who is not in the grave. He is the only one that died, and he is the only one that is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's the only one that's making intercession for us now. He's there. He's praying for us. So as we lift up our eyes to him and say, Lord, what about? He's there. He's listening. He's hearing, and he's able, and he's amazing, and I'm spitting all over the lectern. Through this, he's taught us that how we should pray, how we should aim our prayers, not my will, but his will be done. That all our desires, all our designs, that if we bring it in and meld it and mould it into the perfect will of God for our lives, that he will answer our prayers with a positive. He will answer our prayers sometimes with an orange light saying, just wait, I'm at work. And sometimes he will say, no, not now. And sometimes as we lift our eyes to Jesus and he does that work in our lives, we can trust in him because we're looking at the Lord. We're looking to him. We're not being pulled down by the circumstances around us. We're looking at the Father and saying, God, in all things, I want to glorify you. I don't want to be of this world. Jesus had already, he's paid that price for us. He's paid it in full. And as we look to him and not at our circumstances, we can say, God, I'm trusting you. No matter what's happening in my life, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you with what I think's about to happen, but I'm trusting you in the unknown as well, because only you know the beginning from the end. And, you know, like the example that's said in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. Father, God is holy. He's holy. And so as holy God, we've got to have that awe and reverence for him. He loves us so completely. We are his children. But it's like, I remember when I was growing up, my dad, we were never allowed to speak at the dinner table. And if we did so, we were in big trouble because we had a fear of our father. And that was an abnormal fear. But the fear that we should have for God is an awesome reverence for him, because we love him and respect him, and because we know him for his omniscience and his omnipresence and his ever-knowing, ever-seeing, all-able capacity to do whatever he wants to do, which is good and part of his plan. And so our relationship with our Father shouldn't be one of fear and cowering. Our relationship with our Father should be one of, oh, my Lord, you are so good. You are so good. I love you, Lord God, your will, that reverence where we would kneel before him. We'd kneel in prayer and just come to a place of holiness in God. And sometimes I think we've lost that sense of holiness. That last song we sang this morning, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. I love it. And when I was preparing this message yesterday, I was listening to, I sound like a New Zealander, How'd you go with that? Yesterday. I was listening to it on my Spotify, on my app, and I just sat there and I started to weep because holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And His presence is here. And He wants to work in your lives, in my life, in us, and through us. As we lift our eyes to Him, He's amazing. Hallowed be your name. Awe, reverence, not fear. Come before Him with thanksgiving because He loves you so completely. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the purpose, and this is the whole point of this message today, that they may know you, that they, who's they? That's us and them. Us and them makes they. That mankind might know you, that everyone would know God, that they would know Him as God, they would know Him as Saviour, they would know Him as Lord, that they would know Him as the one who came to pay the price for them, that they would know Him as Redeemer, that they would know Him as the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask, that they would know Him, that we could walk with Him, that we could talk with Him, that we would never be alone because He's always with us, that they may know Him, the one true God, the one true God. There is only one true God, and His name is Yahweh, Emmanuel, God with us. Incredible. Oh, so exciting, so exciting. The one true God, and we know Him and are knowing Him and are known by Him. And to the capacity that we allow ourselves to know Him, He draws us deeper and deeper into that relationship with Him so that He can bless us, so that He can heal us, so He can prosper us, not to prosper us for prosperity's sake, but to prosper us to build the kingdom, to prosper us so that we can be His oracles, that we can use the gifts He's placed in our lives to minister the saving grace of Jesus wherever we go, that we would glorify God through our lives. Unbelievable, isn't it? And it's so simple. Saved, to be saving, to give glory to God. Unreal. Unreal. Is anybody else excited? Yeah. And we're tired. We're at the pointy end of the year. We're all tired. But do you know what? God never gets tired. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And His strength is available for us. He gives strength to the weak. Those who are weary, we can wait upon Him and He gives strength to us to do the things that we need to do. Because with Him, nothing is impossible. He gives us the capacity to know His mind through His word, through prayer, lifting our eyes up to heaven. We lift our eyes up to heaven and then He takes us into His word. And He gives us that roadmap we need. He gives us the strategy we need. He gives us the hope we need. He gives us the purpose that we need, because we all need a purpose. We all need to love, and we all need to be loved, and we all need to have something to do. And God gives us all those things and more, because He puts us in a family, the family of God, to serve Him together, to know His... to know His perfect love casts out all fear. I spoke at Women's Life a couple of weeks ago out of 1 John 4, perfect love casts out all fear, for fear involves torment. Well, when we're in the perfect love of God, the agape love of God, there is no torment and there is no fear in that love. because we trust in our Father, our wonderful Heavenly Father, that they may know Him. Share Jesus, walk with Jesus, that they may know you, the only true God. It talks about it in Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as you preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things? How will they know without a messenger? How beautiful are our feet today? Are we proclaiming the gospel? Are our feet beautiful in bringing Jesus into our world, into our family? Are our feet as beautiful as this messenger that talks about in Romans? Or do we need a Holy Ghost pedicure? Do we need our feet worked on? I know I do sometimes, because some days I don't feel like walking anywhere. And I'm sure you can all relate to that. But God is good. And God gives us strength for today. And He gives us the capacity to love Him more as we open our hearts to Him. You see, our purpose is to live our life for Christ so that others might see and want to know the hope that we have. That others might see and want to know what God has done in us and who this God is, who this one true God is, that they may know Him. And that's our heart. And that's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, to raise up disciples, to train and equip disciples for the work of the ministry. And who is a minister here? Hands. Every one of you are a minister. You are all ministers of reconciliation. You are all born with a God purpose and a ministry that God has put on your life. And you may not be called to preach from a pulpit, but you are called to be a minister of reconciliation, that they may know Him. And at this end of the year, at this time of the year, as we come to this, we need to really, really be seeking God with how we can be actively involved in bringing Christ to our community, into our families, bringing that love, not preaching gospel words at them unless God gives it to you to do it, but loving them, loving your family, loving your friends, sharing with them something special, encouraging them. It is so easy to smile at someone and say, you are looking wonderful today. You have got such a gift on your life. You are beautiful. And you are, you all are beautiful because you're made in the image of God. Fearfully, wondrously made in the image of God. You're created with God's purpose in your hearts. And some of us don't know what that is yet, but when you seek God and as you lift your eyes up to heaven, He's going to show you exactly what it is that you've been created to do. The only true God, no other idols. And I'm going to quickly finish this and then we'll pray. And we could preach a whole message on other idols in our lives. But in Exodus chapter 34, verse 13, it says, "You shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me." And in our lives and in our worlds, we all have other gods, small g. There are other things that have come into our lives in place of the one true God. There are other things that have been part of our lives. Before I got saved, I was into New Age stuff. I was into lots of reincarnation teachings and things like that. That was another God for me. For some, it's politics. For some, it's sport. For some, it's family above all else. But you shall have no other gods before me. The one true God is the one that we serve. And so if there are other things in our lives that God is requiring us to lay down, as He touches our hearts with those things, we need to say, "Lord, I give it to you." We don't physically go and break down altars or do the sacrificing that they did in the Old Testament, because it was a very, very murderous time. They went around and they killed and they pillaged and broke things down, but that was the old covenant. We're in a new covenant. We're in the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we We do it with love and we do it in prayer. We lift our eyes up and we see loved ones. I've got a situation that I'm dealing with at the moment with someone who is incredibly ill, and this person doesn't know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. I'm not going to go in and say to this person, you know, you need to lay down your idols or anything like that. I'm going to love on him. I'm going to make a meal for him. I'm going to take him to his appointments. I'm going to take her to whatever she needs to go to. I'm going to be there for her. I'm going to be the ear that she or he needs to speak to. I'm going to be the one that is going to provide for him the love of God, so that when the time comes, he can say to me, or she can say to me, what is it about you? How come you've got hope when I haven't? You see, that's breaking down their altars. That's being the love of God in a situation where there is no hope. And all of us have got a story, fill in the blanks. Every one of us can say, this is what I'm ministering. This is what I'm caring about. This is my mum. This is my dad. This is my brother, sister, my friend. But it's in lifting our eyes to heaven as we become aware of the things around us, so that we can prayerfully and giving glory to God, seek him for the strategy to minister to those that are in loss and in need. We love them. We speak the truth in love as God prompts us. We share the good news and the hope that is Jesus, and we live our lives in such a way that people are going to see that God gets the glory for everything that we do. And that's how we do it. We build bridges, bringing people to God through the bridges we build with the people in our lives. And while we look to God, he gives us the building blocks so that we can build those bridges and love on everyone around us. Having courage in our convictions also, to love them enough to speak the truth. To not worry about ourselves so that God gets the glory. To be able to speak those words of life and love. That Jesus is their hope. That he died for them. And as Jesus, knowing the hour had come, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Some of us are facing an hour right now. Lift up your eyes to heaven. Lift your eyes up to heaven, that God may strengthen you for what he's about to do in you and through you. You see, he is our hope. He's our shield. And he has it all worked out. I bought a diary at the end of last year, and on the front of the diary it had three words: God's got this. And he does. He doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't let it go. He holds you in the palm of his hand. He keeps you safe. He doesn't stop things from happening. But he's got you, and he's got your situation as you trust him in it. Lift up your eyes that they may know you, the one true God. Amen. And I'm out of time. I'm going to pray and then we'll close the service. But for those of you who would like prayer this morning, I'll open the altar and we'll pray from a distance. But God is going to move. Amen. We need to be ready for what is on us now. We need to be ready. We need to be submitted to God. We need to be in a place where we can really say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done in our lives. Because there's a harvest and every one of us is a minister. Amen. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace in the precious and the matchless name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Lord, for the example, Lord Jesus, that you set, that the hour had come and you lifted up your eyes to heaven. God, I just pray for each one of us today that whatever we are facing, Father, that we can lift our eyes up to you, that you would be glorified. That whatever pressure is upon us, whatever we're going through, Lord God, we can respond in a way that gives glory to you, Lord God. Lord, we just pray right now for those that are struggling and going through things. I pray, Father, for a downloading of the Holy Spirit into their lives today. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. Come now and fill each one and touch each one. And God, just minister your healing into each heart today. Those of us who are here and those of us who are online. And that healing begins with salvation. For those of us who've walked with you, Lord, we thank you for your eternal, eternal redemption. But for those of us who don't yet know you, I just pray right now that they would reach out to you, call upon the name of Jesus, and the word says you will be saved. So as we reach out to Jesus now, we say, Lord God, save us. Lord God, heal us. We give our lives to you now. And we commit ourselves into your hands now in the precious name of Jesus. Forgive us our sins. Wash us and cleanse us and let us walk with you for all of our days. And I pray right now in Jesus' name for each one of us that we would continue, Lord God, to walk in the ways that you show us, that you, Father God, would give us a heart of prayer to know you more, to really rely on you and trust you 100%, not just 90%, but lifting our eyes to you, Father, that you would show us how to move forward. And Lord God, give us a heart for the harvest. Lord Jesus, you died for the world. That they may know you. Lord God, give us that heart for the harvest and for people who need to know the hope that only you can bring. And God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would minister those hearts. Father, by the power of your Spirit, soften our hearts, break down the brittle edges, break down the defenses that we've put up around. God, help us to bring you glory in everything we do. For Lord, you are so wonderful. And God, we praise you and we thank you. We've got a grateful heart and a thankful heart. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.